Okay, the Nesive Shalom, this is Nesive Avedas Hashem. Now we're going to learn the introduction first. Isa B'Chazal. You like the page? Tzedin Chazal al Apostuk. And you shall return and see the difference between one who serves Hashem and one who doesn't. Say Chazal, Oved Hashem, Ze Alemed Perka Me Apam of Echad. Somebody who is a servant of Hashem is someone who learns their. What they're learning 101 times. Ashalei avadai is someone who does not serve him. Zeh alemed pirkei rak mea pa'am is someone who only reviews their learning 100 times. V'chere tamua, and as everybody asks, well, this doesn't seem to make any sense. And v'shul pa'amachas ha'hefrish kol kach godol ad ki zeh nikra evda lekim v'zeh nikra ashalei avadai. Can it be that one time a difference of reviewing can make the difference between somebody who is called a servant of Hashem and somebody who is not? But the explanation of this is so Yisrael Shalom says that the title servant of Hashem is only befitting for a person whose service is for one reason, and that is to fulfill Hashem's will. That is the only reason. Despite the fact that he feels no feeling or pleasure in doing so. The only reason he's doing it is because it's fulfilling Hashem's will. Chazal kavu, and Chazal established ki achrei me'epamim, that after 100 times, sheshum einemagish shum yisrem v'zeh, that the person feels absolutely no advantage learning again. After 100 times, it's pointless.
So our learning should be pointless?
So shechoyz of learning that pamim would be totally pointless to learn again. Well, so then when you're learning that 101st time, there is no other reason to learn it than to fulfill Hashem's will. Not glasses at the Chinese book. The only thing is to fulfill Hashem's will. That's why he has a he deserves the title the servant of Hashem. But somebody only learns 100 times. There's still some pleasure and some extra knowledge that he's gaining through his learning. Even though his reward is great, he doesn't deserve the title of servant of Hashem.
So he should go learn something else. There's lots to learn. He keeps learning the same thing over and over again. So why not learn something you don't know? And this is saying that you already know everything? That's unlikely. It can't be meaning that.
Right. But you can learn everything in the world, but you still won't be considered a servant of Hashem.
Exactly. So what he's saying over here is nobody's considered a servant of Hashem. Because I can't believe you should take one little pasuk, ignore all the rest of Torah, and learn this pasuk 101 times, or learn it until there's nothing more to extract from it, and then in order to be a servant of Hashem, and now you've neglected all everything else. Certainly you can't be suggesting that as a plan for learning. So rather than doing that, so after you know it, and it seems now pointless to learn anymore, go learn something else. There's plenty to learn. What's he saying here?
Right. What he's saying is that if I would take that pasuk and learn it 101 times, even though I have not learned anything else, there's no other reason for me to learn it 101 times other than to fulfill Hashem's will. Right, so when my learning this, when I learn it the 101st time, right, there is no, if I'd be learning anything else, I would be although I'm transmits and everything, there is no proof that I'm doing it only to serve Hashem. I might be doing it to acquire knowledge. I still have some of my own pleasure while I'm doing so. However, when I learned this pasuk the 101st time, there's only one reason I'm doing it.
Okay. So is he recommending that this is a good idea, or is he saying this is a statement?
Well, could you apply this to like daily davening, to like too many Torahs? Could you? Is that considered learning?
Yeah, I like Torahs has other advantages to it.
But could that be considered learning? So you could actually incorporate into your daily davening. And then you're good, say the...
That's nice. The first time.
Because definitely do it more than 101 times.
Right. Still can't say it by heart. Without getting it all mixed up. I wanted to tell you something. It's not that he's advocating to do something. He's just... The Gemara is wants to define to us what is an Ovid Hashem. And the Gemara wants to bring out that an Ovid Hashem is someone who fulfills Hashem's will, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel any whether you feel any connection to it or not, it's somebody who fulfills Hashem's will. Okay, you know, give me an example of somebody. How do I know that I'm doing something as a servant of Hashem? And the Gemara said, let's say you're learning the 101st time, that would be something. Anything else we do, we might have some kind of gishmak in it. So that would already take away from you might not be doing it totally for just fulfill Hashem's will. The chiddush over here is that any other mitzvah that I do, which I'm clearly only doing to fulfill Hashem's will, I don't shake lulav and esrog for any other reason. It's not like I get a great, you know. But I do get a geshmak, right? I have pleasure when I shake lulav and esrog because I know I'm fulfilling Hashem's will. Right? That itself. That itself gives me a sense of pleasure. That already takes away from my being on Avid Hashem, because since I do feel some connection to it, right? I'm already, there is some of me in it. The chiddush here is that even that pleasure takes away from you being called an Avid Hashem. You're not doing this because you have me an Avid Hashem. You take pleasure in being an Avid Hashem. It's only learning the 101st time where you're not even taking pleasure in being an Avid Hashem anymore. That's when you're an Avid Hashem.
Is this desirable?
Well, the whole point is that it's not. And I can't imagine, though, that's the problem here, that when a person is learning to get to that 101st time, right, so it can't be desirable, that's what I'm saying. Because if a person is learning to get to that 101st time, and he finally gets there, he's not going to have any greater joy than learning that 101st time, and then he defeated the purpose altogether. So it's like, what he's saying is that someone who happened to be learning 100 times, and then Mamash pushes himself to learn that 101st time. That's what we're talking about.
Isn't there something about you have to do it 100 times or 101 times before you can teach?
Sure hope not.
There'd be very little teaching going on.
But I think it's tying, though, to something you said one time on the Shabbos, where you said that what Hashem takes the greatest pleasure in isn't necessarily the end result, it's not the end game, it's the striving. Whether we're doing battle against the Yetzer Hara, or whether we're learning, doing it, that, like you just said, to push through to get that 101st time, that's the striving. That's what's Geshmak HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. Right. So that's more, if you would say that, that would be good, but he's not saying that. He's saying the Baal Tanya answers that. He asked the same kasha, the Baal Tanya. Why is 101 times is considered Rabbi Hashem? Somebody's 100 times is not. And he says that it used to be the derech. At the time of the Gemara, it was the norm to chazar 100 times. It was the norm. The 101st time was more than the norm. Alekim, right? The pasuk calls it. It doesn't say Avid Hashem. The pasuk says Avid Alekim. Alekim is teva. Alekim means is the gematria of hateva. Same gematria. Alekim represents. Alekim is the shame. Is Hashem's name that represents nature. So when a person serves Hashem according to their nature, they're not Avid Alekim. They're not working on their nature. Whereas someone who does a little bit beyond what's natural to them, right? That person is conquering their nature. I mean, they're showing that it's not their nature that controls them. They control their nature. So, by learning that 101st time, that's the extra push. That's the extra. That's the struggle. That's called an Avid Alekim. So he just does, you know, what's normal. That's not an Avid Alekim. So it's if somebody has a seder like an hour a day, right? And then when time for the hour comes and he's ready to close the seder, he says, "You know what? I'm going to learn another 2 minutes." That's 101st time. That applies across the board. Then this is something that's really I don't know where else it applies. It's got to be something that, well, I guess it applies to any time a person has absolutely no cheshek, no will at all to do the mitzvah, and the only reason he's doing it is because Hashem commands him to do so. It's a story with my father in the tefillin. And my father was on my altar. He told me that he became a chassid of my father because he was once at a convention or something, Rabbanim. So everybody was davening shachris together. And he said my father would put his tefillin on his arm. He was standing next to him. And he says, I really am not in the mood of davening today. Well, Hashem told me to do so. I've got to do it. And then he put on his tefillin. He said, and that blew him away. So I think that's what he's saying here. That's, you know, if you have absolutely no, you have those times when you're just totally not in the mood, and totally not with the program. You know, you're just not, not feeling like it. And you're just, the only reason he's doing it is because Hashem told me to do so. It's called an Avid Alekim. I know, and this is Kidag is Avid Hashem, the level of servant of Hashem. Guraka Idei Avodas Hashem Yegia Tuma is only through serving Hashem with great toil. Lasai Zritzayna Yisborach to do Hashem's will. Av Meblisha Magish Tanya is that without feeling any pleasure in doing so. As we find Moshe Rabbeinu, Shenikra Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe is called Eved Hashem. But Eved Neman Karos Eloi. Hashem calls him the loyal servant. Ava Pisha Oyele Dargeti Loyos Biyoser. Shalei Zochulam Shum Yiludisha. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu had tremendous levels that might be greater than being called Eved Hashem, the servant of Hashem. He was like a child to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was reached a level that no other human being ever reached. Right? As Hashem says, I spoke to him face mouth to mouth. He was able to see Hashem's image. The pasuk says there was no prophet that like Moshe that ever knew Hashem face to face.
I have a question. Moshe became prophet like that because Hashem talked to him, or he did something outstanding that Hashem was chosen to talk to him? And if he did something before, what was it?
It's a good question. I think it was a combination of both. As Baal Tanya says, that tzaddikim, at least I understand this from the Tanya, I'm not sure if that's what he means, but that's what I understood, is that the level of tzaddik gomer is the person that's created that way. The person is created with the ability, there's special people that have the ability to become a tzaddik gomer, meaning to totally eradicate their yetzer hara. Normal, the way I understood Baal Tanya is that normal people don't have that ability.
I understood that. So what's the merit of
you also understood that from the Baal Tanya?
Yes. What's the merit of those people? And what's their connection to all of us?
That's even a better question. But it's not that they don't have the ability to fall and not to fulfill their potential. I think what Tanya is saying is that these people have a greater potential than we have, and they can therefore reach this level of tzaddik gomer, whereas we don't have that. But the highest level we can reach is probably benini or tzaddik sheni gomer. Whereas these people have that ability to reach that. It's not that they can't botch it up and waste their life. They have that ability too. So they have the merit of fulfilling their potential. That merit they have. But the second thing you asked is a good question. What was it? You said, what is the merit?
What did he do? What is it? He did something that he considered to. Question, if Hashem would talk to somebody like that face to face, who knows? Maybe I would be a prophet.
Right. Well, I went to Hashem spoke to him face to face only at Kabbalah Zotera, which was way long after.
From the bush and this and
that. Yeah, that wasn't face to face. That was
it was enough.
It was enough for you.
Huh? Yeah.
The only thing we find in the Torah until then is that Moshe, even though he was from Shevet Levi and he grew up in the king's palace and he didn't have to work, it says somebody says that he couldn't tolerate his brothers watching Klal Yisrael work, so he joined the service. He joined the hard labor because he couldn't tolerate to just stand on the sidelines and watch everybody else work that we find in the pasuk. The pasuk says that he went out to his brothers and he saw their hard labor, and he joined the hard labor. That's what it says.
Says that he joined hard labor.
Either that's how Rashi learns pshat in the pasuk, but just to tell us that he saw the hard labor that's how Rashi or the Chazal understand the pasuk that he joined it.
This is the flip side of it. It was something that was innate from Moshe Rabbeinu because A, when he was born circumcised, B, light filled the house, so. His connection already is coming from such a high level.
Right, so that's basically the same level as Tzaddik Gomer.
Exactly.
He's saying that's not something he worked on.
Right. But he's
somebody was born billionaire, so what's his merit to be a billionaire? What's his connection to me?
He still has to.
What's an example for me? It's not an example.
If he gives the money to build a shul, then.
Yeah, right. Obviously spiritual advantages that everybody else doesn't have, but still, you had to act on it. And what does the Gemara say if the king who sent the guy who could read faces or comes to see me, comes back, gives a report of, says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he had every negative character trait known to man, the king didn't believe, so he went to see Moshe himself, and he said, no, but it did, he's right, overcame them all. If there is a merit in that, then that could be fine. He overcame every possible negative trait that had to be overcome, and that in that merit, he was able to speak to Hashem face to face. Just an idea.
Yep. But nevertheless, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person on the face of the earth, right? How can somebody of such great stature be the most humble person? It says he was more humble than any person on the face of the earth. Meaning that he held himself smaller than anybody else. How's that possible? Only way possible is that he held that he was born with all of these qualities. And had he been born with anybody else's qualities, he wouldn't have been as great as they are. So it was, it was his just. That was the only way. The only thing that justifies it. Justifies his humility.
I wonder if it's easier to be humble if you have
greatness,
because you don't need to prove anything. It's just obvious. It's like, for example, the guy who's born a billionaire. He doesn't need to go around showing how much money he has. It's like it's obvious. So he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to show off to in order to appear rich.
I think he has to work harder at it.
What?
I think he has to work harder at it.
Harder at being humble?
Humble, for sure. It's
a thought, huh?
But again,
sure.
I'm putting in the plug.
Oh, okay.
Because we brought a billionaire guy.
I wasn't born a billionaire.
I just thought I'd put the plug in.
Nor did I become.
You gotta get it if you ask, so I thought I'd.
You got the potential.
So does the shul. The shul has more.
But you're part of the shul, so.
Is it a billionaire memoir?
The story of the Sfasamus was 18 when he became Rebbe. His grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, was Nifter. So Sfasamus was his grandson. All the Chiddush Arim's children had died in his lifetime. All 18 of them. But Sfasamus was his grandson. He was 18 years old at the time. And he was the heir to the throne. And he became Rebbe. And there were many Hasidim there that were older Hasidim, maybe a little, in their 60s, 70s. So at his first Tish, he said, that he was thinking about how he can possibly sit up front and be the Rebbe, and there's the people that are so much good, so much greater than he is. And so he said that the way he understands this is that by an analogy of a person that decided to climb Mount Everest.
What?
Somebody who's trying to climb Mount Everest.
Uh-huh.
And he's climbing and climbing and climbing and keeps on falling and it starts again. And then this avalanche comes and tries to, and it comes at him. And he overcomes so many different obstacles until he finally, after months of climbing, he finally reaches the top. When he gets to the top, he sees children. Top of the mountain. He says to the children, "How in the world did you guys get up here? It was so difficult for me to get here. And what are you doing? How did you get up here?" The child says, "I was born up here." So someone said to them, I realize you've been climbing the mountain for so long, and you've worked much harder than I would have ever worked in my lifetime. I was born up here."
He was the second most humble person.
Right. So it is that there are people that are born on the mountain.
Moshe Rabbeinu, he murdered a guy, then he ran away, and he became the king of the South Side for a bunch of years. I guess that would make anybody humble.
South Side?
Yeah, then he became King of Kush.
That's just bad.
135th of Kush.
Oh, man. Okay. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu had all these tremendous achievements, Dargosam Yuchedes Haisa, and it's, I think he's saying exactly what David said. Even though he had all these, you know, he merited these things that a human being never merited, what Hashem praises him with is not all these things. That's not what Hashem praises him with. Dargosam Yuchedes Haisa, his level is that he's praised with is Moshe Eved Hashem. That Moshe was a servant of Hashem. And so it says, "By Yachre Moshe Eved Hashem." It was after the death of Moshe, the servant of Hashem. Hatoyer Azeh, because this title, Moira Goydla Flagas Avosa Davaris Barach, it shows his great love to Hashem. Shoyser Etzon Yisbarach May Eved Nama, that he did Hashem's will like a servant. I mean, all the times that he had these tremendous revelations, that we're not praising him about. That's something he was born on the mountain. It's the things that he was an Eved Hashem, which is something that he did without any feeling. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu would do things to fulfill Hashem's will, despite feeling no connection to it. That's how the pasuk praises. That's worthy of praise. I think you're saying exactly what you're saying. Well, Derech Dizeh B'Tanit Ve'Elio. And this is as is brought in Tanit Ve'Elio. Moshal Amalach Shoyle Bonim Avodim Havid, a parable to a king that had many sons and servants. Va'amar, and he said, "Atzarav es Bonim Avodai, I want to test my sons and my servants. Mishoy Haveni V'Yorei Mimeni. I want to see who loves me and fears me. And somebody who fears me but doesn't love me." What does the Melech do? He went and built an alleyway that was 4 amos by 4 amos. Inside this alley, he made a courtyard that was 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, very small area. And inside of this, he made a really small chamber. But if you go into that chamber, you can walk out into the main thoroughfare to greet the king. And the children of the king and his servants are standing in the alley and in the courtyard. And the melech knows mish oyevaisai, who that someone who loves him, that the one who loves him is going to be the one that is going to kvetch himself into that small little chamber in order to come out into the main thoroughfare to see the king. Somebody who just fears him but doesn't love him is going to stay standing outside, he's not going to exert his body to enter this small little chamber in order to be able to see the king. So basically the idea here is that someone who loves Hashem is going to exert his body to do so. And someone who just fears him is going to serve him as long as it's comfortable. If Zuta Yisahoid, in Tanit Ve'Elio, Zuta, it says,
not the other way around.
What?
Not the other way around.
What do you mean?
the truth. You just said.
And somebody who loves him is gonna
push his land.
Is gonna exert himself to serve Hashem.
And people who are afraid, they would do it only till it's comfortable, and then what? They're not afraid anymore.
No, somebody who only serves Hashem because they're afraid, we're only gonna do what they're obligated to do. They're not gonna overexert themselves to serve Hashem. There's no other way to test it other than to make it uncomfortable. If somebody just only does what's comfortable, there's no proof that they love Hashem. It's comfortable for you, so that's what you're doing. V'zuti yisoid al derazah. Moshal ha-melech sheilei avodim. It says a parable to a king that had servants. They were sitting on one side of an iron wall. And the king had an announcement made and said, "Kol mishal yevoisi, that whoever loves the king, yala al chemis baras leviyatsli, should climb over the metal wall and come to me. Kol mishayna yala al chemis, bevad leshayna yevoisi. Someone whoever doesn't go up over the wall, doesn't love me. Maschon shel oidem al chemis umanem ibayin. What is the reward for those who go?" Who climb the wall, what is said about them? It says in the Pasuk by Har Sinai that the image of the glory of Hashem was like a fire, a burning fire at the top of the mountain to the eyes of Bnei Yisrael. I'm not sure what he wants with this. It's what we're trying to derive from this. Midargis oyev ha-melech is the level of somebody who loves the king. In dargizum is batas rak ba'argoshesh oyev ha-sabari yizbach. This level cannot be expressed just by a feeling, I love Hashem. It has to be something that a person is willing to sacrifice their comfort for it. Meshaber gufay nafshe v'ruchay lihidokik b'tech matzovim d'chukim v'koshim l'idoiz b'orim p'nei melechayim. It has to be He has to be willing to break his body, to push himself into uncomfortable positions, to see to be able to come closer to Hashem. Similar to entering this small chamber, climbing over the iron wall. Meaning someone has to be willing to subjugate their desire and their nature, to become closer to Hashem. Somebody is willing to invest much toil in this.